are you yet standing? Our scripture is to be found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4 and 30. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
It reads, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye were sealed for the day of redemption." My main focus today is on our personal relationship with God. My subject is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You may be seated. Giving all praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom all honor and respect is due, and to you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, we are here once again that we may worship our God and pray that our worship is not in vain. He desires us to worship Him, for He is worthy of all of it. Truly, He is good to us in every sense we can think of. In every form of imagination, God is good. Yes, if He wasn't good, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
By His grace and by His mercy, He allowed you to see another day.
Yes,
and as the old people said, that everyone that laid down last night didn't wake up
That's
this
right.
morning.
That's right.
And all of them were old people. Some was young, but God has been good to you, and give back to Him what is due His name. What I'm going to speak to you, the lesson that I want to teach to you today, is something that really you ought to know about already, but I want to heighten your sensitivity towards what goes on in us.
Yeah.
That will help us with our personal relationship with God. God desires a very personal relationship with each and every one of us. He don't want to just have you to have an experience with Him on Sunday morning. But He want to be with you that you can experience Him every day. This is a relationship that God desires so much that He reached out for us.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Through His Son to bring us to Him. Amen. I do believe that it hurts the Father when we reject Him.
All right.
I don't know if you can even imagine being rejected by your own children. That got to be a hurting thing. And the Father is hurt when we reject Him. Jesus one time gave an illustration to try to help us with our understanding of how the Father is.
Uh-huh.
So He took the human Father, something that we could relate to.
That's it.
And He said, this is if you, and this is my Heavenly Father. He said, now you, as a man, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, if they ask you for bread,
yes,
you wouldn't give them a rock.
That's it.
He said, if they ask you for some fish, you wouldn't give him a snake.
Uh-huh.
He said, how is it that you, being an evil person, know how to give good gifts? He said, much more my Heavenly Father can give good gifts, and He don't have no evil about Him at all. So Jesus took the comparison of our earthly fathers and compared it to our Heavenly Father. So if you as earthly fathers and earthly parents hurt when your kids reject you, much more, how much more will our Heavenly Father hurt when we reject him? The scripture tells us that our Heavenly Father is much more, much better at parenting than we could ever be. He don't make no mistakes in parenthood.
No.
I bet many of us who are parents wish we can go back and do it over again. We can correct many of the mistakes that we made in the upbringing of our children. But God makes no mistakes with his parenting of his children. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what God... level of love for us goes so deep that we really can't wrap our minds around to grasp the magnitude of love that God really have for us. You see, when Adam sinned in the garden, it cut off the fellowship with God.
Yes,
And it broke the fellowship. But God, what happened there didn't take God by surprise. Because he already knew that was going to take place.
That's right.
That's the reason the Bible tells us that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of the world. God had already put in place to correct that mistake that man made. But when he had already had in plan that he was going to send a Savior, someone to bring us back to him. Because when Adam sinned, everything in creation went in haywire. Everything went against the way God created it. And everything that was born after that was in that same state. But even the earth, Paul said, all of heaven and earth groans for redemption. God didn't create the earth for hurricanes like Florence and Harvey. God didn't create the earth for wildfires like in California.
Come on, somebody.
And earthquakes. God didn't create none of that, tornadoes. And all of that came about because of the fall of man.
That's right.
And that's the reason Paul said in 1 Corinthians, all of earth groans for its redemption, to be restored back to its original order. And all of that will be in the new world to come. When Jesus said he saw a new heaven and a new earth, that new earth is not going to have all of that going on. It's going to be a place of perfect peace. Perfect peace. You don't have to worry about shelters and hideaway places because it's going to be restored. You don't have to be worried about it. Can I be rescued if Harvey come back again? We're not going to have none of that when that new heaven and that new earth comes. Amen? So God had a Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to redeem us back to him. Everything that Adam did in the garden, Jesus made right on the cross.
Yes, he did.
That cross is so powerful. It wasn't just a man died on that.
That's right.
It was much more than that. Much more than that. Especially when Isaiah said he was wounded. For our transgression. He was bruised. For our iniquities.
Yes, sir.
The chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All of that took place on the cross of Jesus Christ. And God emptied himself into Christ so he can bring us back to him. Amen. Now, to go a little bit further, Jesus, in his earthly ministry, in the 14th chapter of John, I think that's where you are now, Jesus said, look, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever.
He said forever.
That is the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they do not see him, or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus was comforting his disciples because he had told them that what was getting ready to transpire with him, and that he was going to leave them because he's getting ready to be crucified. And he told them, but don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled.
Yes,
don't worry about this, because when I leave you,
yes,
I'm going to ask the Father to send back to you another helper.
All right.
The same helper that I had while I'm here on my earthly ministry to enable me to carry out all of these miracles. They enabled me to endure all of this that came against me from the religious leaders and from the government.
Yeah.
That person that helped me get through all of that is the same person I'm going to send back for you.
Yeah.
The world don't know nothing about this person because they can't see him. And neither do they know him. But he said you will know him because he's going to be abiding with you. He's going to stay with you.
Yes.
And not only that, he going to stay with you, he going to be in you.
Yeah.
So Jesus could comfort these disciples with these words.
Uh-huh.
Now, in the 16th chapter, Jesus tells them about the Holy Spirit and what his role would be in the lives of Christians. Go to the next one. What Jesus was telling them, when this Holy Spirit, when your helper comes, and the helper is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to do three things. He's going to do these things. He is going to convict the world of sin. He's going to guide us into all truth, and that the things he shall share with us come directly from the Father because Jesus sent him. Jesus was telling us that when he sent us this helper, the Holy Spirit that abides in us, he's not going to speak of himself. But whatever I tell him, that's what he's going to speak. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm trying to set it up. Because many of you already know what I'm talking about. But more importantly, I want you to be able to identify this person that's in you. Because he's in you right now.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Amen. Because when Jesus said he never leave you nor forsake you, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit always being with you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Holy Spirit is our direct connection to the Father. And if you're considering and if you want your relationship with the Father strengthened, you got to start with the understanding of the fact that you are never alone. You are never without him. The Holy Spirit is always with us. Amen. We got to have that understanding that the Holy Spirit is always with us. And listen, I think I asked a question. I put that question up there when I was, go back again. No, that one, that's it. What I asked, can Vicky go down again? Go down again. All right. I'm getting to don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And I ask you the question, do God hear you even when you're not praying?
Yes.
Do God hear you even when you are not praying? I want you to understand how important that you have this understanding about the Holy Spirit being with you and in you. He's everywhere you go, everything you do, every place, everything you see, he sees. Everything you hear, he hears. And not only that, Paul, the psalmist told us, he knows your thoughts before you even think them. So your thoughts that you think, the whole God the Father hear those. He see those thoughts. Now, my main focus is, he is the person of God. Y'all notice Paul used the word grieve. What the word grieve means is to cause someone to feel sad or unhappy. It's painful to grieve. We know grieving at the loss of a loved one, a loss of something that we love. We grieve over it. We're hurt. It's painful. We moan. We go through the pain. And now when Paul used the word grieve, and I'm so glad he did, he personified the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit is not a it. It's not a thing. He is the third person of the Godhead. He's as much as God is God. And he's living on the inside of us. God is holy, meaning that God is perfect. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, he is perfect. Now, let me distinguish. I'm just going to throw this out here. Because I know everybody done used a curse word before. Amen? And you done used it since you've been a Christian. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit don't curse. Y'all hear what I just said? The Holy Spirit don't curse. Did he hear you curse?
Yeah, yeah.
Think about the curse words that you use. If Jesus was standing where I'm standing now, would you talk to him like that? Would you use those curse words? If Jesus was standing right here where I'm standing, would you talk to him like that? You so and so and so? You can't even imagine doing that, can you? But every time you curse, that's what you're doing. Every time you curse, he hears every word of it. You think that hurts him? And I like the way Paul said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because he's the very one that got your salvation sealed.
That's it.
Now, here is the person that's holding your salvation in his hand. He's the one, if you get to heaven, he's the one going to get you there. Now, you got him on the inside of you. Every time you curse him, he's just... Y'all know how you respond to when you hear that foul language? You cringe now? You can't bear it. Yeah, am I right? So when we use it, that's the way the Holy Spirit is, just like that. And he's the very one that's saving you. He's the one that's holding your salvation, that gets you to heaven. And Paul said, now you grieve in him. You grieve in him. And the concept is that Paul used this relationship with God. This is an intimate relationship, a close relationship, like a husband and wife. How many of y'all have really been in love? You married people, you better hold your hand. When you was in love, did that person that you loved so much did something to really hurt you? Did that person that you really loved did something that really hurt you? Almost devastated you, didn't it? I remember it was a young guy, he was a year younger than I, but he was my brother's brother-in-law. And he was a hard-working guy. He got sick, got on dialysis in his his late 40s, early 50s. He died around 55. But then he got devastated by his wife, because his wife, he worked hard and she had her own business, but she had a big problem. She had a gambling problem. He knew about her problem, but he thought she made big money, he had it under control. And was at the casino all the time. And he didn't know it, but she had mortgaged the house off. Gambled the money out. The bank writing them foreclosure letters, and she was hiding it so he wouldn't see. And the next thing he knew, he was being kicked out. And all the money he thought they had saved, they was flat broke. End up living in an apartment this last few days. Now, you can imagine you being in that position and somebody you love so much did that. I wonder if he was able to be with her 24/7, could she have done it? If she was with her 24/7 when she went to work, when she came home, when she went to the casino, when she did all that, could she have done it?
You're not asking
them, baby. I wonder,
I don't think so.
Those of you that have spouses or been married, would you think about getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend on the side if your husband and wife was with you for 24/7?
You ain't going to do it.
We do. Y'all getting where I'm coming from? If your spouse was with you 24/7, would you think about trying to get a spouse on this, a baby on the side? You know, he was one of them sugar daddies or whatever. You ain't got time, but because if you try to do it, they're with you. I believe some of y'all might think you're slick enough that you can pull it off. But somehow or another, you know that God is with you for 24/7 because Jesus done told you, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. But somehow or another, you think you're slick enough to be able to pull off something and Jesus don't see
it. Where you coming from, real?
Y'all hear what I'm saying, huh? Somehow or another, you feel like you can go in that casino and leave Jesus outside. He ain't gonna see me with the blackjack table at the blackjack table. Come on, walk with me here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. No, he's with you for 24/7, but somehow you feel like you can pull something off and he don't notice it.
Oh, he know. That for sure.
And you end up, when you do it, you're grieving him every time. There's no place you can go and leave Jesus behind. You can't even think about doing something and leaving Jesus out because he see your thoughts.
That's what he said. That's what he said,
Doc. Amen. He see your thoughts, see, so he knows already before you even know.
What you gonna say?
Oh yeah, I really know.
But the Holy Spirit is there.
Amen. All right.
I don't know why. Nah, we ain't gonna say that.
I know that right.
Yeah, I better keep on going somewhere else.
Amen, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit can make you real.
Y'all ain't in something called. God bless you, brother.
But the whole thing is, you grieve him.
That's right. Amen. Amen to that, Doc.
You grieve him.
You helping us, man. You helping us. Yeah. You helping us.
If you can do wrong,
all right.
Because listen to what Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to do three things. He's going to convict the world of sin. If you can sin and not feel bad, and I don't believe the Holy Spirit is dead. you ought to share some. You ought to have some remorse about it. That every time, I'm not saying I'm all of that. Yeah, I have done some wrongful action since I've been pastoring.
That's right.
I've had some bad thoughts.
Amen.
And they wasn't last year.
Preach on,
y'all hear what I say? God sees that.
Yes, he does.
But since I know that God is with me
24/7, yes, sir.
Come on,
I can tell you that because of that fact that I know that, and I feel and sense that, it keeps me out of a lot of trouble.
Yes, it does.
Y'all hear what I said? That keeps me out of a lot of trouble because I know that even though y'all don't see me, the fact that I know that God sees me,
yes,
I'd rather for y'all to see me and God not see me. Because all that y'all going to do is talk about me.
That's all they going to do.
God's going to correct me. y'all understand what I'm saying? But nevertheless, every time I do that which is goes against the guidelines of God, that's when I say, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit, the one that sees you? Every time we go against the guidelines that the Father has given us.
Yes, sir.
Because the Holy Spirit follows the strength that God has given according to his word. He don't deviate for us.
All right.
And that's the reason Jesus said when he comes, he's going to lead us in all, not some truth, but in what?
All truth.
All right.
Yeah, amen. Good news. That's good news. Yeah, amen. Good news.
I think the last one. Go down. Do I have something else?
Good news.
How can we grieve the Holy Spirit when we consciously decide to go against the guidelines that the Father has given? Going against his word. And you know you're doing it.
All right.
You know you're doing it. How many times y'all done stole something you didn't know you were stealing?
Said it was bargain.
You might miss taking and taking something. But something you know you were stealing.
When I go get your equipment, I don't feel like I'm stealing. But I am, but I ain't
smart.
I asked you, I guess I am stealing.
What my point is that because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in all truth, he's going to show you where you mess up.
Yes, he will.
He's going to show you where you mess up.
I know he will. I know he will, Doc. I know he will. Yes, he will.
Should I ask for forgiveness every day?
Yes,
if you're smart, you ought to.
Yes,
well,
because those things that goes against God keeps us out of fellowship with God.
Yes,
every time I mess up, I don't feel the closeness to God as I did before. But when I ask for repentance and ask for forgiveness,
yes,
and God, just like he said in his word, he is faithful and just to forgive us.
Everything.
And cleanse us from all the unrighteous.
Everything.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Ask for it.
Yes, sir.
All do you
better. Thank you, Jesus.
Ask for it because it's the thing that keeps you in a bad relationship with God.
Talk to us, son.
Yes, sir.
You didn't do anything. You're not that smart yet to pull something over on God.
That's
right. That's what Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you gonna reap. Because he said God is not marked. You can't say, you can't do something over here and look at God and say, I got away this time. You can't laugh at God if you done got away with it.
Ain't no way, real.
No
resolution. Thank you, Lord.
And then Paul told us what really grieves the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
He began to list a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Let me show you some of them. I ain't show you all of them. Ephesians 4 and 29. Don't use
bad.
How did we get out of there? Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to, and what would give them a blessing. Don't use bad language. Y'all know what bad language is? Do I have to take you back to English? Now, he's not talking about bad language, you know, you is. He ain't talking about that kind of bad language. Or people's. He ain't talking about that kind of bad language. He's talking about that foul language. That language that runs people down, that beats down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what I learned about people with foul language? And I knew about myself, y'all. I used to curse like a sailor. You know, I used to use, I got good with it. Bad language. But I never throwing me off a little bit there. I never used bad language in front of my parents. And I never used bad language in front of my family. Unless my wife really made me mad. But I didn't get it. I might say one bad word, but you know. Y'all like y'all all squeaky clean. I've been married 47 years. I know what marriage goes on in marriages, okay? Y'all sitting up here trying to pull something on me. I know what goes on in marriage. And I know that you can control that tongue. It all depends on who you're in front of. Will you control it? But you ain't go down to that courthouse cursing. Go in front of that judge cursing. That lets you know what? You can control it. If you don't respect the person you're talking to, respect the person that's on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit. Don't let filthy communication come out of your mouth. Stop being mean. Oh boy. Just mean people. You know, just mean. The Holy Spirit don't like that. Bad temper. Anger. Disagreeing. Some people gonna disagree. You disagree with everything. Everything. You know, I'm gonna try to come together and help out on any. Just no matter what.
No matter what.
I said, let's go down to Denny's. Oh, we ain't got to go there. What, so what? They come just like IHOP. Just want to disagree.
Amen.
Control your anger. Your bad temper. Paul said, if you get mad, fix it before you go to bed.
Amen.
Because he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger because you're giving Satan a chance for toehold.
That's the word now. That's the word. Amen. Yes, sir. That's
we'll go to you married folks again.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all done went to bed mad at each other.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Laying there, sometimes you be so mad. Let your feet touch each other. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Yeah, your feet touch you, thinking you're something mad with
him. Yes, say it.
Preach up.
It's true.
Preach up, y'all go home.
These youngsters don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all keep on living to get married.
Yes.
Gotta go home, Bill.
deal with your anger before you go to sleep, because the more you stay mad, the more Satan gonna work with that mind, more Satan gonna give you more tricks to pull, the more, he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes.
Amen. All right, Doctor.
You're helping us, Doctor. You're overworking the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can fix it, but you won't let it.
All right.
Let me show you how bad Satan can get to you.
Uh-huh.
Somebody did something to me one time. I was so mad. I knew that if I pray about it, God would solve it. But I didn't want to pray.
You didn't want to pray, man.
Because I wanted to stay mad. Now, you know Satan got you then, okay? Satan, you know that if you pray and ask God about it, God would, listen, that's the reason I know, listen, if you hanging on to something that you should have let go of, I know you're not praying.
You're helping us, God.
Amen.
Because God, if you keep praying, God's going to change your attitude. He might not change the situation, but he'll change your attitude. Right? I'm not talking about, I'm talking about what I experienced over the years.
We can relate to that, Doc.
God will change that.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will, Doc.
Then he said, what? What the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wants us to be in unity.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Being kind-hearted to one another.
Yes,
loving one another. Building one another up.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen.
Right,
can you identify the Holy Spirit within you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right now, can you identify?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Because he's always telling you what's right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wednesday night, I told them something that I did before I got converted. But now, I wouldn't even dare to try to pull something like that now. The Holy Spirit won't let me. He's going to try me. The devil going to try me.
All right. Yes, he will.
Like I told you, when the lady cashed my check and gave my check back, that's not what the devil trying me. I can devil my money just by walking out the door.
Yes, sir.
That's a test.
Yes,
but the Holy Spirit telling me it's wrong. Are y'all convicted a little bit? The Holy Spirit, when he have come, he's going to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to convict you of that. What that word convict mean? I'm guilty. You guilty. I'm guilty. That's what he said. You're guilty. But the good news is, you've been redeemed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the same person that's going to get you to heaven, you stop grieving him. Stop making him sad. I wonder if he ever thought about, boy, I hate I came inside of him. Been sad ever since I've been here. Some of y'all didn't get that one. I wonder if the Holy Spirit think that way about you. That's a sad commentary. He hated came and I'm holding your side. Boy, you making the man, the one that's saving you, mad.
Yeah, he's holding your life.
He holding your ticket to heaven.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor.
I'm going to close on this one, y'all. I'm not going to, you're not going to shout today. There's one unforgiven sin. And I think everybody know what it is. Blasphemy. Everybody knows what it is, but I don't think everybody know what it means.
Yes, sir. All right, Pastor.
Denying.
Rejecting the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Jesus said you can reject me.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay?
Right.
Because I'm God in a human body.
Uh-huh.
And I understand that some of y'all can't accept that.
Yes, sir.
But when you reject the Holy Spirit,
uh-huh.
Why is it that rejecting the Holy Spirit
uh-huh.
is unforgiving?
It's unforgiving.
Because that's the one that saved you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh. The very one that saved you, you reject him.
Yes, sir.
The very one that's talking to you behind your ear said, come on, it's time to come. Uh-huh. You reject him.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to reject him all the way to your grave.
Yes, sir.
So that sin can't be forgiven.
All right.
Forgive.
Today you hear my voice.
Yes, sir.
Harden not your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today you hear that Jesus came and died for your sin, and he was buried in the grave, and on the third day he rose up and said all power is in his hand. That's the day you ought to get up and come and give your life to Christ. Don't think you can wait till next week. Don't think you can wait till some revival, but you ought to do it right now.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
Cause you know you're here right now.
Uh-huh.
That's when God said, the day you hear my voice,
yes, sir.
Harden not your heart.
Yes,
amen.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. So when you leave here, my objective is to make you more sensitive to the fact that wherever you go, you're taking Jesus' gift.
Amen. That's up.
Every time you lie,
yeah.
Jesus bears witness to that lie. Every time you curse, you got to listen to that filthy mouth of yours. So remember that. Amen. To heighten your sensitivity to the fact that God never leaves you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise if there's someone here today that would like to come and make that step. Is there anyone that would like to come? Just as I just said, today you hear my voice. Harden not your heart.
Amen.
But come.
Amen.
Come to Jesus.
I'm good today. I feel like a young man.
Go get our chicken tetrazzini. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And And afterwards, we're going to, I'd love to see you over at Bright Star this afternoon at 3:30. Amen?
Amen.
I promise you I won't preach long. You all know that it's a vast difference between preaching and teaching. I try to teach you here. And it takes a while to teach. But the most important is that you get it. Amen. It's more important to me that you got it today, that wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. Whatever you do, he don't try to get him to participate because he don't want to. When you're doing something that's against what his father done. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. Let's stand. Come on, let the church. Let the church. God is for you. So let the church. Come on, let's say it one more time. Let the church.